I have a word from the Lord for you today. I really believe I have a word from the Lord today. Father, thank you for your word. We are grateful to you for your presence here. Grateful to you for your presence here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, I have a couple of things. You know, when I go away to preach and to minister, the Lord shares things with me, especially when I go away to preach and to minister. He will share things with me, apart from what I'm going to preach, to also do beforehand. I will get those things beforehand. Occasionally, I might get something while I'm preaching as well. Something prophetic. Something, and I know this house is not unprophetic, if you know what I mean. Okay, so the first thing I want to say is that I saw in my spirit a couple in this church. I saw a couple, and it was their first time here. And the Lord said to tell you that this is the place. And then additionally, there were some other people who had been struggling about where to really plant roots. Said to tell you, this is the place. This is where he is creating a portal for heaven. Heaven is everywhere. The Lord is with us all the time. But there are times when he specifically designates a place for a reason. Sometimes for a season as well, but for a reason, yeah? And what I saw was quite weird. And I thought, have I been watching funny movies lately? No. Not that kind anyway. And because what I saw were people who had an umbilical cord connected to this portal type thing, which was the Vine Church. And within that portal, within or around, it was a sphere. It was quite interesting, actually. I kind of thought, I wished I could paint, and I would have quickly scribbled it down. And within that sphere was heaven. It was heaven. And there's this umbilical cord from these people connected really to it. And that's where the juice is at. That's where it's at. So I want to say to you, if you've been weighing things, you're thinking, oh, maybe, maybe not, maybe not. Especially for those who have been the maybe, maybe not, maybe, maybe not. This is it. I want to say to you, this is it. This is it. Stay put. Dig deep. Plant roots. And you know, seeds become trees. But not usually not overnight. Okay? Seeds become trees, usually not overnight. So, stay there. Dig deep. Plant roots. And you should see some outcome in your life that you will look back in a couple of years and go, wow, isn't that some change? Isn't that some change? Okay? So I'm looking forward to hearing those stories later. But particularly a couple. Don't know if they're here or not. Or maybe they'll hear the message later. But for this morning, for the word from the Bible today, maybe other things I'll share a bit later on. From the Bible today, I want to share with you a message I call, Incredible Possibilities. It's one of my favorite messages. Incredible Possibilities. So I was asking the Lord, what should I share in Bridgen? He said, Incredible Possibilities. Incredible Possibilities. I love Bible prayers very much because they have been prayed and written by the apostles of the Lamb. Those who walked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, touched him, felt him, saw him, slept around him, you know, even post-resurrection and stuff like that. They are great prayers, Bible prayers. They are safe prayers as well. Okay? You can base your prayers on Bible prayers. You can use Bible prayers, explode them, and use them as templates for your prayers. They are safe prayers. And they were prayed constantly and repeatedly before they were written. Okay, so we read Paul, for instance, and we're going to read a couple of those prayers in a minute, saying, I pray for you regularly, constantly. I have not stopped praying for you. I want you to just bear in mind that when you read such a thing, what he's saying has already been done before he wrote it. I have been praying for you. They were prayed constantly and repeatedly before they were written. Okay? So that gives me the confidence that they've been tried and tested in the presence of God before they were written. So those prayers have been tried and tested before they were then written to the church. Are you with me? Okay. They were tried and tested in the presence of God. And if these prayers are out of line, or they're wacky to out of whack, God would have told them to stop. There's a point. There's something a point I'm trying to make. So before they wrote to say, I've been praying these prayers for you, they had been praying those prayers for them. Constantly, repeatedly. And if those prayers were out of line and wacky, God would have said, shut up. Or at least said, nah, change it a little bit, tweak it. And they were able to hear God. Did we not read of Paul saying, and I besought the Lord three times that he would take this thorn away from my flesh. And he said to me, no, my grace is sufficient for you. God can answer like that. When you pray to him, he can say, well, actually, I just want you to stay there for a while longer in that problem zone. Have you ever been there? I have more than once. Lord, can I just go somewhere else? No. Stay there for a while longer. It's for your good and for the higher good of the kingdom of God. So these prayers are safe. They're safe to dwell upon. They're safe to pray. They're safe to use as templates. Using one of these prayers, I want to offer you today a higher vision of life. I want to offer you noble aspirations. I want to attempt to recalibrate your expectations in times of prayer and your hopes as well. I want to attempt a paradigm shift for you. Yes, I do like words. I throw words around a bit. Yes, I can't do without it. It's just what I do. I want to attempt these things. Maybe one word will work for you. Maybe another word will work for you. Go figure. But we're going to hear a few words today. Some of them will change somebody's life. Hello, Ben. So I want to talk to you about incredible possibilities. Because I feel this could change somebody's life. Certainly changed my life. Okay, let's look at two prayers. Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. They are two of my top favorite prayers in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read from verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. I usually read from the NASB, but it doesn't really matter, just in case. Okay, Ephesians 1, we read from 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists amongst you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. You hear that? I do not cease giving thanks for you. I don't cease. I don't stop. I'm always like, thank God for those people. Thank God for Bridgend. Thank God for Bridgend. I do not cease while making mention of you in my prayers. And this is what I pray, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and far above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Somebody needs to memorize that, or at least most of it. It's doable, by the way. I never thought I was good at memorizing stuff as a child, you know, and stuff. It was one of my major problems, you know. But as I've grown and I've, as a Christian, and I've applied myself, I've found that I can memorize many verses at a time. It may take me a year, but I can carry that prayer around now in my head. I can break it down while I'm riding on the bus. You say, I don't have to imagine things. I can imagine this because I'm carrying it around. And there are many believers all over the world who carry the Bible around in their heads, just because that's the only way they can legally have it. Okay, now we have these things. And have you ever been on holidays with somebody and they ask, as soon as they enter the foyer, where's the Wi-Fi? That's the first thing everybody's looking for, Wi-Fi. We even went to L.A. a while ago and we hired a car. And the car, on the dashboard, it said something, Wi-Fi. And the kids were like, Wi-Fi, there's Wi-Fi in the car. That's, I was like, calm down, we're in a different country. Look at the country, Wi-Fi. Now we have all technology to enjoy. And sometimes we don't even bother to memorize. So that's just an aside, by the way. Let's carry on. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. And this is the one we're going to break down a little bit this morning. It's a bit of a Bible study. Okay, Colossians 1, 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, always, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Skip a few verses. Because, you know, a bit like Paul, I get distracted sometimes as well. So he distracts himself, verses 5 to 8. So we go to verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's another one that I made myself memorize. Carry it around. Break it down in the bathtub. You know? You break it down on riding the train. They are very similar prayers though. Ephesians 1, Colossians 1. Very similar prayers. Okay? Point number one. They are both prayed repeatedly. I think I've emphasized that enough times. Repeatedly, constantly, prayed repeatedly. I don't stop. I'm always praying. I always pray constantly, repeatedly. Ephesians 1, 16, Colossians 1 and 9. I don't stop. I never cease. Repeatedly. Point number two. They're both asking for wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God. Okay, so we're just comparing those two prayers for now. 3-4 points in comparison, and then we'll break some of it down a bit more. Okay? They're both asking for wisdom and understanding. Colossians 1:9, Ephesians 1:17. Thirdly, they are both predicated on the believer's faith in Christ Jesus and their love for the church. So it says, because we have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and of your love for the brethren, it binds those two things together. And we'll look at them a bit more closely in a minute. But they are both predicated on the believer's faith in Christ and their love for the brethren. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, since we heard of your faith and your love for the brethren. Okay, so let's start the deeper stuff now. Get the shovel out. Start digging. And start digging. Or as I call it these days, do a little bit of a deep dive. Let's dive a little. Love for the fellow saints is crucial, friends. Complementing our faith in the Lord with the love for the fellow saints is crucial. They go hand in hand. Everywhere you see the apostles mention your faith in Christ Jesus, they couple it with love for the saints. The true believer also loves believers. Somebody says, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I said, yeah, that's fine. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But a Christian wants to go to church. Yeah? A true believer loves other believers and wants to be around them. A believer that's allergic to believers, needs to have some antihistamine. It's crucial. It is so crucial that the Apostle John considers it the litmus test for our salvation. He says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, I read from the Amplified. It says, we know that we have passed over out of death into life by the fact that we love the brethren, our fellow Christians. He who does not love abides in, remains in, is held and kept continually in spiritual death. That's a great indictment. Okay. So, love for Christ, faith in Christ, and love for the brethren go hand in hand. One is the test of the other. Jesus himself said in John chapter 13, he said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And this love is not, sort of cuddly love. It is practical, intentional, and enduring love. Practical, intentional, and enduring. Where I belong to, I belong with, I am responsible for, and I am accountable to. Are you with me? I belong to, I belong with. There's a slight difference. I might belong to you and not be with you much. I belong to, I belong with, I am responsible for, and I am accountable to. That is the love that Jesus said we're to have for one another. I'm accountable to you as much as I'm responsible for you, and vice versa. That's what we do. That's how we're going to do this thing. Having faith in Jesus and love for one another is crucial. But again, it is not enough. Because this prayer's press in. The apostle acknowledges the fact that they have faith in Christ Jesus and love for the other brethren, and then he presses the matter further into something else. He says, you can't have this without this, yet you need more than just those two. And he presses the matter, and what does he pray? He says, I pray constantly and repeatedly for you, and I ask certain things. But before we get to those certain things that he asks for, let's consider some of the manners in which he asks. I cannot overstress the constantly and repeatedly. Ever since that was highlighted for me by the Holy Spirit some 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago. Something like that. Highlighted for me. That's when I began to memorize that particular one. It just was all right to be read before that. After that, I memorized it. And now, by the grace of God, I pray practically every morning. Every morning. Okay. Maybe I've missed it once or twice. When I've gone to bed at 4 a.m. and woke up at 3 p.m. Okay. And there is a way to do that. You attach it to something that you do. Repeatedly, constantly, for myself, for my loved ones. Repeatedly, constantly, for myself, for my loved ones. And increasingly, I see the results and the outcomes of it. Increasingly. I'm going to show you that in a minute or two. I can't overemphasize that. Another thing to note here is the request. It says, I ask on your behalf. This asking is a request, is the seeking by the inferior from the superior. It probably doesn't mean much here because you're all a very sort of progressive, forward-thinking church, aren't you? You're kind of very, meek and submissive to the Lord type of church. So this next point probably won't make much sense to you. We live in a time, I think, when people seem to demand rights. There's a lot of entitlement. Do you think? A lot of sense of entitlement around the place. People demand rights rather than plead and petition for favor and privilege. Anything happens, we protest against it. Protest, my right, my this and that. That's not what this is saying. We're not laying claim to any right in this particular prayer. We are requesting, we are petitioning, we are imploring, we are asking God, would you please, would you please? It's covered again in Philippians chapter 4. Where it says, be anxious for nothing, verse 6, Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and what? Supplication. Supplication with thanksgiving. Let your what? Requests be made known unto God. There are all kinds of prayers. But in these particular examples, we're talking about supplication, requests. We're talking about begging God. It's not a very popular message in charismatic Pentecostal circles. The idea of, oh God, please, would you? Oh God, please, you know, may this be, would that be? People tend to proclaim and command. But these prayers are saying, God, please, my people. That's what Paul is saying. God, please, my people. Would you please? I believe, help my unbelief type of prayer. Another thing to note with these prayers is their copious and complete nature. The copious and the complete nature of the requests and expectations. By copious, I mean they are plentiful, full stuff. He's asking for a lot. He's not hedging his bets. He's asking for a lot. He's still begging and asking and requesting and supplicating, but he's asking for a lot at the same time. It's like, oh, Alex, please. Please, Alex, give me a Porsche. Give me a Bugatti, Alex, please. Something like that. Or to Elon Musk. Oh, Elon, please. Give me a spacecraft. Give me a spacecraft. He's still begging. But he's not hedging his bets. Look at this. Read from verse 9 of Colossians 1. And we'll go through it a little bit slowly. For this reason also, I'm going to ask you to underline some things if you have the capability of doing that. Okay? For this reason also, since today we heard of it, we have not ceased. Underline that. Have not ceased. That is complete. That is, I don't stop. To pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. Filled. I'm going to come back to that word in a second. With the knowledge of his will in all. Underline in all. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. In all respects. Bearing fruit in every good work. Every good work and increasing. Increasing. The momentum is escalating. This is exponential. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all. All power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his life. Do you see all that? All increasing, filled, copious. It's just so copious and complete. Friends, when we pray, when we ask God, we're asking from the creator of all things. Don't hedge your bets. Give me, Lord, please. Would you give us this whole town? Why not? What's the worst that could happen? One person comes to Christ. Okay. That person's great-grandchild could take the whole town. Hello? Do you know God doesn't live in time? Stuff could really happen when you actually start asking. Stuff could really happen. I'm telling you. Stuff could really happen. So for instance, I'm convinced there's somebody here with a back condition. Okay? Back condition, spinal condition, bones. I don't know if you've been for treatment or therapy of some sort, but I saw somebody laid out in my spirit as I prayed for this over the last 2 days, and it came again and again. Somebody laid out back in a bit of a strait, you know. I want to pray for you today that back will be sorted in the name of Jesus. Once and for all. Father, I pray for that person in the name of Jesus, that the bones will align, the muscles will align, there will be a creative miracle, whatever needs to be done, oh God. Lord, we're not hedging our bets here. I'm asking you that you will fix it because you showed it to me, oh God. Fix it, straighten them out, and make it permanent, Father, I ask, in the name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. And the same for some people who are suffering from joints, joint problems. I know what that feels like. I've had a few through my lifetime. Some have been dealt with miraculously, and some through physiotherapy. Exercises can really change your life, you know. Somebody probably just needs to move a bit more and the joints will free a bit more. But we're talking about someone who's really tried here again. The Lord showed me joints, joint problems. Okay? Hand joints, knuckles, and other joints. This, the hand in particular, showed up in my vision. I don't know what's going on. I really don't need to know. All I know is my walk with God so far, stuff happens. Stuff happens. So we're not going to second guess him. Well, I'm not going to second guess him, and I'm certainly not going to hedge my bet. So once again, if you've got a hand joint issues going on, it might be arthritis, it could be an accident, it could be anything, or joints generally in your body, it could be shoulder. You see, I'm dealing with this one right now. It's sort of 90% done. I've had joint issues. Some have just gone and some through time. But Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because we are gathered together in the place of heaven right now, I ask you that those joint problems will be fixed, Father, permanently. Permanently. And those that need wisdom to avoid the thing coming back, Father, I ask you for wisdom for their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, may this mark a change in people's physical well-being today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's carry on. Look at the time there. All right. Not bad. So you've seen the copiousness and complete nature of these things, right? It's full of requests. And Paul's not hedging his bets. He says that you may be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, all kinds of wisdom, in all kinds of situations. Whatever life throws at you, whatever the devil throws at you, whatever your mother-in-law throws at you, that's the only one we have left now, my mother-in-law. The other three have gone, of our parents. So I can say that about my mother-in-law. Whatever she throws at me, she's all right, actually. She's a sweet woman. We almost brought her, but no. So, you can have all wisdom for all situations. You really can. We really can. And the way it comes, okay, that's for later. Okay, listen to this. It says that you may be filled. You say, I did say I'll come back to fill and I'll come back to it. I always come back to what I say I'll come back to. You know, even if I run out of time, I'll come back to it next time I come back. All right, so this feeling here says that you might be filled with all wisdom. This feeling is not just, I don't know what you see when you read that and you go across it. But I stop a lot when I read the Bible. I just stop. And I look at a word and it so transpires that this word fill here is quite exciting. It means to be infused with, to be imbued with, okay? Permeated with, saturated with, to be compacted with. It's all kinds of filling. When you infuse something, for instance, leather or any other fabric, if you're dyeing it, you're infusing it with some liquid that will then color it, will change the color, and sometimes will change some of the nature of that fabric itself. Infusion. To be imbued with, to be saturated with. Complete filling. Can you imagine that with me for a second? That you are actually wise enough to deal with every circumstance in life. That's where we're heading. Paul says, I'm not hedging my bets here. I want you to be filled with all wisdom, with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This knowledge, though, is not merely information. It's not merely assent or information. However factual or truthful that information might be, that's not the knowledge we're talking about here. It implies the active interaction of the knower with the object. It is apprentice knowledge. Apprentice knowledge rather than academic knowledge. He says, I want you to know how God does things through his interaction with you. It's loaded prayer. It's a loaded prayer. That's part of why we need pastors and teachers. So even after they received Paul's prayers, they would have had to break it down and begun to teach their people. This is what the apostle is saying to us. This is what he has been praying for us. Loaded. I'm also a trained and practicing mediator, by the way. I mediate for divorcing and separating couples. Not so much to put them together, but to kind of mop it up cleanly when they've decided this is where we want to go. It's the first step before going to court, legally now anyway, and stuff. So I do that practice too. And one of the things that I learned when I was doing my training, I think 2003, something like that, this mediation teacher was, you know, he said, I think it was the very first session, said, okay, all of you right now are going to go on a journey. He says, you're right now unconscious incompetent. So, okay, thanks, mate. Unconscious incompetent. That means you don't even know that you don't know. You're unconscious about your own incompetence. And from there, you will go to conscious incompetence. Now you're beginning to know that you're incompetent. You can't actually do anything. And from there, we will train you and infuse you with some capabilities. And then you will begin the journey into conscious competence. And that's when you begin to know what you know and your own limits. And from there, hopefully, he says, if you stick with it long enough, you will arrive at what? Can anyone guess what we'll arrive at? What? Competence? Yeah, but no, that's using the words that I've used earlier on. You remember where we started from? Unconscious competence. And the prize goes to Maggie! Unconscious competence. That is where you are just flowing and solving problems without thinking too much about them. That's where God wants us to be, friends. He wants us to be unconscious competent people, filled with the knowledge of his will in what? In all wisdom and all spiritual understanding. In all wisdom and all spiritual understanding. That might sound like a whatever to you, like, oh, is that even possible? Well, you know what? Why not? Since I started praying this prayer for myself and my loved ones several years ago, I have seen remarkable changes in myself. I have seen remarkable changes in how I deal with problems, not just in church, but everyday mundane problems. Everyday mundane problems. And there is a certain kind of expression sometimes that is aided by the Holy Spirit, even in mundane activities, talk less of the pivotal decisions you have to take for life. The things that can make or break you. You need that wisdom and understanding and spiritual. You know, some things can only be understood in spiritual terms. You cannot explain them, not with the best science in the world. Some things can only be explained. Listen, if you tell me this, there was a time I used to fight against stuff like this. But if you tell me these days that you saw fairies at the back of the garden, I'll say, okay. Because you know what? Maybe they exist. Sorry. Who told you that we're the only creatures on earth? There are things we can't see. Of course you believe in God. When last did you see him? Even those of you who have great visions, when last did you see Christ? Angels, demons, have you touched one recently? There are things we can't see. There are some things that can only be explained spiritually. That's why Paul said that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you can make sense of your life. You can know who's for you and who's against you, or what circumstances are for you, what circumstances were designed against you. You can know how to maneuver, how to pivot, how to change circumstances, how to do things different. Bless God. We're not playing a game in this Christian world. We need all the wisdom we can get. For life, for godliness, even for mundane everyday activities. I'll tell you, these days, if I'm going to put 12 screws in that wall, if I put my hand in a bucket and bring them out, usually I've got 12. These days, I have tracked some things. We don't always track things, but sometimes we need self-assessment so that we can begin to see how God is, what he's doing in our lives. This unconscious competence is a real thing in spiritual matters too. By the way, many people who blame their mother-in-law, the problem is not the mother-in-law. You just need to discern properly where the problem is coming from. Could be you, could be the devil, could be an ancestral spirit for all you know. Hello, Ben. So, the more of the infusion of this knowledge, the more I flow in the design and the destiny of God for my life and our world. It becomes progressively instinctive. We still keep learning and receiving till the day we suck our last breath, of course, but it becomes progressively instinctive. We become increasingly godly and spot on in our living. Let me talk to you about the will of God. This will of God is used to designate what God himself does of his own good pleasure. It may be called the executive will of God. That which he purposes to do and which he does do. So Paul is saying, listen, there are some things that God has purposed to do and he will do them, but he wants you to flow in them with him. He's going to do it anyway. But you see, the tension that we often suffer, a lot of the times I've come to realize, is simply from not knowing what the will of God is. If I knew that it was the will of God, for instance, that, let me use a ridiculous example, that I stumble from this stage, I wouldn't be so afraid of stumbling from this stage. Because you say, what good could that ever do anybody? Well, I don't know. Do you know every good that every portion of the will of God can do for the world? Not even Dr. Strange can work that out, right? Okay, but let's attempt a possibility. I stumble from this stage. You jump up to help me. In so doing, you touch me somehow, and you want to keep in touch later. Say, how are you doing? Have you really recovered from that? Yes, I have. And we start to talk, and we talk about family, and we discover that you have a young woman in your house who is now 21, and she ends up marrying my son later in the future. And all that may not have happened if I didn't stumble from this stage to for you to jump up and help me. Hello? Not every accident is an accident. All right? The executive will of God. Things that God will do, intends to do, but he wants you to be aware of them. So let me begin to round up now. I've got a few more things to say, as you can imagine, but let me begin to round up now. The knowledge of God's will, therefore, frames my hopes, adjusts my desires, informs my aspirations, and also, very importantly, correctly interprets my current situations and my history. I'm going to read that again. Even I haven't memorized that one sentence there. The knowledge of his will, therefore, frames my hopes. The things that I'm hoping for are going to be within the framework of his will. It adjusts my desires. I'm going to let some things go. I am going to assume desire for it. You know, you can create a taste for yourself. Some people say, no, I'm not like that. Well, you can make it happen. You can create a taste. It informs my aspirations and also, very importantly, correctly interprets my current situations and my history. Let's look at the expected results, and I'll round up on this. Just skipped a few talking points, but it's fine. That's fine. He says, okay, when you've got this infusion of the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that, wherever you see so that in the scriptures, you need to pause. Because it's about to tell you what the outcome is supposed to be. The expected outcome. So that you may walk worthy of him, pleasing him in every way, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Then he adds to it, that you will also be strengthened with all power, okay, according to the glorious might, unto all patience and perseverance, so that I may walk worthy of him, pleasing him in every way, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in that intimacy and knowledge of God, so that I may know more from him, know more like him, know more through him, become more like him. And also be strengthened with all power unto all patience and perseverance. That's important because that's the stickability factor. Like I said earlier on, seeds become trees, but not always overnight. We need stickability. We need rootedness as we're walking this journey, as we're learning, as we're being filled. Okay then, so let's round this all up now. A few more things to say. But you got the message, right? You got the message. Apostle Paul prayed for them, and by extension for you. He says, pray. I've been praying for you guys. And I want you to adopt that same posture. Two things I'm going to end with. You can pray in the same way, but you can also know what life is supposed to be like because of the expected outcomes of this prayer. Walk worthy of him. You can. I don't know if you all do these sort of things here, but I'm going to ask you to say with me, yes, I can. You can walk worthy of him. Pleasing him in every way. Somebody say, yes, I can. I can please him in every... I try to say this to myself every morning. I can please him today. Today is what matters, right? I can please him today. I can please him today. I can walk worthy of him today. Please him in every way. Being fruitful in every good work. Every good endeavor that is beneficial that I engage in, I can be fruitful in. Somebody say, yes, I can. Being fruitful in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. I can know God more. Amen. Say that full sentence with me, please. I can know God more. And again, I can know God more. With a little bit more conviction this time, perhaps. I can know God more. Somebody needs to look at the mirror every day and say that to themselves. That is the cure you need, not a therapist. I'm not saying nobody ever needs a therapist. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying somebody here today needs to look in the mirror every day and say to themselves those four things. I can walk worthy of him. I can please him in every way. I can be fruitful in every good work. I can know God more. I can walk worthy of him. I can please him in every way. I can be fruitful in every good work. I can know God more. Look in the mirror. Tell yourself that because he wants me to. Because it is his executive will. And some neural pathways in your brain will begin to change. And as they begin to change, they will affect your worldview and your belief system. As your belief system changes and your worldview, your behavior and lifestyle will begin to change. And you will look back in a couple of years' time and say, whoa, who's that? Who's that? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence in this house. Lord, I am so grateful for the opportunity. I feel honored to be here. I ask you that your word will be true to this dear people. That your word will be true to them, true for them. Oh God, in the precious name of Jesus.